Hello, James Stewart here with another edition of Ryecast, the podcast that's all about rye. I love making this pod. I'm meeting some really interesting people, and the conversations go in totally unexpected ways. Not least this week's episode, which includes stories about Arthurian legends, neutering cats, and being scared by dolls. All of which have come from a morning here at the community centre, talking to the makers and creatives at the first Rye Arts and Crafts Fair. It's been organised by Jackie Brooks, who, like many people in Rye, just thought, if something needs doing, I'll do it myself. So she set up this craft show. Let's find out why. Well, the big day's here. Jackie Brooks has organised it. It's going well.
It's going really well, and everyone's just brought the most amazing stuff with them, and they're all extremely grateful for having the opportunity and well appointed at the moment, yeah.
It's not every day that you wake up and think, I'm going to put on a craft show. How come it happened?
It purely happened because there's a lot of young and experienced creatives out there that just don't seem to get the opportunity to have a fair, and there's not many going on in Rye. My two children, who are both talented artists, never seem to get the opportunity to have a fair stall. So I just thought, well, let's do our own. Within a week, we'd sold all 25 stalls, so it's clearly needed as well.
And it's a big range of stuff, isn't it?
I'm delighted, because the last thing I wanted to do was turn anyone away and say, I'm sorry, we've got too many illustrators or knitters or whatever already. That's not happened. I mean, literally every stall is totally different, and I'm delighted about that.
And we're in the community centre, which is an amazing building.
I love this building. It's got so much character. It's got a really cool feel when you walk in it. It just needs a bit of money. So by doing this, we're raising money for the community centre. We're letting people show off their art and hopefully sell as much as they can. And it's just a lovely building. Love it. It's right in the centre of the Rye as well. And it needs to be used.
You do get a sense of the history of the place, but also the amazing things that have happened in the past. You can imagine a 1920s gang show happening here, or a 60s fashion show or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you think back of how many times this has been used over the years for a variety of things, some parties, just an incredible space. And there's lots of art fairs have been on here over the years, and theatre shows. The WI use it. They do dinners for the elderly, and it can be used for so many things. And you feel that, all of that, when you walk in here. It's just got a real community spirit feel to it. I love it.
How was it last night, the day before the craft fair? Were you thinking nobody's going to turn up?
We were so lucky, because yesterday there was a farmer's market, or WI market, on here. So a lot of the tables had already been set out for us, and we came down here last night and set it all up, and everyone was just really excited. There's not been a moment's doubt in my mind that it won't go well. It's just footfall on the day, obviously. There's nothing we can do about that. We've advertised the hell out of it. There's been a steady flow of people so far, but it's still early, so fingers crossed people do take today. Even if they don't sell, they can increase their profile, so that's also good.
You don't normally organise events, do you?
Nope. Never done one before in my life. But it's been a breeze, to be honest. I mean, a lot of people said to me, you must be mad. And I thought, well, let's just try it. Everyone's been so lovely. I feel actually a bit of a cad when people say, oh, good for you, because it's literally been a walk in the park.
Strange Rye, as we were talking about in this podcast, a really creative place. But actually, if you're not part of the big creative circle, it must be really hard to get on.
It is really difficult to go on. I mean, both of my, Oliver and Charlotte, both my kids, quite well known now, I think, in Rye, because of their artist talents. But it's still very difficult to get into some of the societies and the little groups, because they have their own members, etc. It's difficult to get into that scene, but hopefully this will start to bring some other people's profiles up, because walking around the hall, every single stall is so talented. I'm just at awe with it, because I'm not a creative person at all, so I think it's incredible. I love art. I've spent my whole life in galleries and fashion exhibitions. I'm trotting around Europe with my kids in tow to all the exhibitions and galleries there. But no, I'm not artistic at all. My background is in corporate banking.
A bit different.
Very different, very different. But at least I can manage things well.
You must be really proud that your kids are so creative.
I'm so proud of them. Over the moon for them. They've both done so well. They're both just setting off now. after COVID and trying so hard, they're both starting to do really well. And I'm super, super proud. It's not an easy area to get into, and they're both being recognised at last. I'm so proud of them. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, Jackie, let's go and talk to a few people.
Absolutely.
I've come down from the stage amongst the stalls. There are loads of punters checking out what's on show, and in front of me an amazing selection of carved woodwork, all made by Terry Davies. These are really beautiful, Terry. Obviously a lot of work's gone into it.
Yeah, this is a bit of a side project really, because I generally do furniture and restoration and everything, and just interested in doing some smaller bits and see what happens, really. Things that are sellable and things that can be going to a shop. You know, this is my first show, actually, so see how it goes. Yeah, it's just getting interest going and see what happens, really.
When you say see what happens, what do you hope to happen?
I want to do more of this sort of stuff because I enjoy it. The furniture trade is a bit of a dead thing now. It costs a lot of money to make furniture now. People, it's not their priority. Furniture used to be, people used to want really quality furniture, and I do the high-end stuff, and there's not so much of a market for that now. You have to change with the times, don't you?
We should explain what's on the table in front of us. I describe it as wood carvings. It doesn't really do it justice though, does it?
Well, it's this wood carving. I'm trying to do a range of different things. I don't know what people are interested in really, so I've got a lot of ideas in my head, and it's finding the time to do it, you know, but I'm full of ideas.
Tell me about these pictures, because we've got Mermaid Street, there's Lemmy from Motorhead,
yeah,
Bowie, Jagger.
Yeah, they're made up of lines, and I routed the lines out and then use a V-chisel in the lines to put in more details and things like that. And then you put the dark stain or paint into that, sand it, and then polish it, and it comes up with a picture.
You've also got a picture of this amazing caravan you're designing and building. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was my lockdown project, actually. I started it just before lockdown, and I only really get weekends on that. I only really get Saturdays, really. But when we had lockdown, I had a big run of it, so I could get on with it sort of thing. So I was enjoying lockdown, really.
Describe it. What is it?
I've always been into castles. I've always loved castles. I've wanted a castle since I was about six. I was hoping for one a bit bigger than that, but, you know, it's a little teardrop camper, basically, in the style of an Arthurian castle. So I've carved the outside to look like a stone wall, and I've painted it to look like stone. The inside's got everything that a castle would have, but in miniature, like a little hammer beam roof, the carved mouldings and carved panelling and everything. It's a bit mad, but, you know, I love it. And I'm hoping to get it finished this year and go away doing a little Arthurian tours and visiting castles and travelling around Wales. And, you know, it's my little Welsh castle. Castell Cwch, it's called.
Say again?
It's called Castell Cwch.
What does that mean?
Cwch is a Welsh word. They use it for all sorts of things nowadays. They like a cuddle, or, you know, give us a cooch. But the true meaning of it is a small, safe place. You know, it just means something cute and small and safe. And, you know, and that sums a little tiny castle up, really.
With all respect, it is completely nuts. Yeah. In a good way.
It is mad, yeah.
But, it's got a cooker, you know, inside.
yeah. You lift up a hatch at the back, and you've got the kitchen. So you stand under the hatch. And it's got your cooker, your sink, it's got the proper fridge, and I haven't done the top cupboards yet, but it's going to have top cupboards. Got a solar panel on the roof, so I've got electric. It's all got electric in it. It's got gas in the front of the box. It's got a gas tank which does the cooker, and a little heater. It's got a little Propex heater in it. So yeah, we've got electric heating, everything you need when you go camping. I've always gone camping. That's all I'd ever done before I met my wife. And then she used to come camping with us in tents and everything. And she got fed up of the bad weather and everything. She decided she didn't want to camp anymore. So that's partly why I've done it. So, because it's glamping. And if you tell her you're going away in a castle, she can't say no, can she? So, you know.
And what is it about the Arthurian legends that drives you? Because you've also got passion for it.
I've always been interested in that. It's just a classic story, isn't it? And I've always been interested in sort of medieval, anything with a knight or dragon in it, I'm interested in. So, you know, it's just something I've always been interested in. So if I'm going to do something, and I wanted to do something, you know, different, so it just was the obvious thing to do, really, a castle, and do it in an Arthurian style. So inside I've got all the, on the roof, I've burnt all the pictures on the roof. It's got scenes of the Arthurian legend, and it's got all the coats of arms of all the different knights of the Round Table. So, yeah.
It looks amazing from the pictures. Can't wait to see it through real life.
Thank you, yeah.
And this is a family affair, because Jackie, who's organised this amazing day, is your twin.
She's my twin sister, yeah. This is the first time I've ever done this, and Jackie said about, you know, we're doing a arts and craft fair in Rye, you know, and Oliver and Charlotte are doing it. Do you want to have a stand? So I thought, yeah, give it a go, see what happens.
And what do you feel like when you're sitting behind the stall? Are people being pleasant and ask good questions?
Yeah, yeah, people, you know, people are nice, generally. Yeah, and they come around and look at it. I mean, I don't know how it'll go. I mean, it's not like 10 quid stuff. So I think if you're selling things for £5, £10, they sell all day, but it's not the sort of thing that everyone's going to want to buy. But it's getting the interest out there and getting people to know who I am, really.
Well, I'll put some pictures on the website so people can see the amazing caravan and some of the amazing art. Hope the rest of the day goes well.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
I'm with another one of the designers who's got a stall of fantastic ceramics and pots, Larry Wilson. How's the day going?
It's been going very well. I've had some sales so far. People have said some very, very nice things. And I've had some interesting conversations with people about the glazes, because they're fascinated by the fact that you can't predict how a glaze is going to come out exactly. Some will be very plain and ordinary, like a fine, but I experiment, and so I don't know what's actually coming out of the kiln. When you open that kiln and it's still a little warm, and you're like...
So what's the strike rate? Do you throw away loads of pots, or do they all get used?
They pretty much all get used. I've had to throw away very few. I've only had, I think in 2 years, I've had one explosion in the kiln where something didn't go right. But it didn't hurt anything else. It just blew up itself. I'm pretty careful about making sure the clay is free of bubbles and impurities. I've had good success with it.
What is it about pottery you love?
I absolutely love the playing in the mud aspect. It's like everything else I've done, woodworking or jewelry or anything, I do a lot. I've done them all bits. It takes so long. But with clay, you want a different shape and you just push. And that's, I think, brilliant. It's like, yes, it takes a while then to fire it and glaze it, but it's still, it's just you and your hands. I sort of feel the same about singing. I just sing. You know, I don't have to play an instrument. It just comes out. The same thing happens with pottery. It's just, it's between me and the mud. And whatever I feel like making, I can make. And I'm getting better. I still feel I'm a student in some ways. But I'm getting better at the shapes I want to make. I want to get into really tall things again. And some of them are getting taller. And I want to get into some really massive, great bowls. And I'm getting some good-sized bowls. But there's also shapes I've seen over the years that I've admired in other pots. Some, you know, very beautiful narrow cylinders that, you know, it's like, ooh, can I do that? Yes, I can, because I'm learning. Every time you're on the wheel, you learn again. You learn something new.
And you started potting. Potting? Is that the right word?
Pottery? Throwing? I don't know.
Yeah, as a kid?
Yes, when I was probably about 18, and I'd done a lot of hand building before then, which I like very much, but there's something about throwing that I've always been fascinated by. So when I was able to take classes with some very, very good potters around Chicago, it was eye-opening that, you know, the stuff that I had to learn and could learn from these people. But yeah, started probably when I was 17, 18, and I've never really stopped. There's been gaps where I haven't had access to a wheel or a kiln. Some very long gaps sometimes. There was one about, you know, almost 12 years where I hadn't thrown anything, but I got back to this class, and the first thing I sat down, I threw a vase as tall as my elbow. I couldn't even get into it. And the teacher's like, oh, you've done this before. I was like, yeah, but not for a long time. He said, but you don't forget. Your muscles remember that sort of thing. It is a real muscle memory thing. I don't even think about where I'm positioning my hands or my feet. It's just, nope, it's up, done.
And you turned a hobby into a job.
It's a pleasurable job. It's not that I'm going to make my fortune at it, but I'm certainly having a good time making the things. And it's lovely that they're going out into the world for people to use. I do like making usable things, vases and plates and bowls and cups and mugs, rather than just arty things. So pretty much everything I make is useful and nice to look at. I had moved to Britain and got recertified to teach here because my teaching certification from the United States wasn't good for anything. So that took about 2 years to get fully recertified. And then I taught in Tunbridge Wells at Rose Hill School. I was head of English and drama for 12 years. Lovely school, lovely people, lovely kids. but it's also really lovely being retired. That I like very much.
Do you miss Chicago?
I miss my friends in Chicago. I do not miss the weather. They had a horrible winter. They've had horrible summers. You know, it's either too hot or too cold. You get a very brief spring and a very brief autumn of pleasurable weather. I don't miss that part of it at all, but boy, I do miss very, very good friends.
What about Rye? What do you love about Rye?
Oh, I've always loved Rye. When we were first getting ready to move, I said, could we live in Rye and work in Tunbridge Wells? I was like, no, it's a bit too far. But I had first learned of Rye in the novels by Joan Aiken, who was born at Jeek's house, father's Conrad Aiken, so I always wanted to come. And we had visited once, we actually stayed at Jeek's house, and it was that for me. And then those other novelists, of course, you know, E.F. Benson and Rumor Godden, who also wrote about Rye. So I had the image in my head, was actually very similar to when I got here and saw it. There wasn't a lot of difference. Rye has everything. It's like, it's not much bigger than a village, but it has everything you need in a town. And the music scene is lovely. I love singing along in bars and in pubs. It's one of my favorite things to do when someone gets out the guitar. It's like, nope, I'll just come and add out a harmony line there. That's great fun. I think the people are amazing. There's such an amazing creative life in Rye. You don't see a town this size with that kind of energy so often. You have to get to a much bigger place like Hastings or Brighton or something for that sort of minimum concentration of talent and art that sort of explodes into something wonderful. But in Rye, you know, there's artists everywhere. There's people making music. There's people dancing and acting. And I think it's just a brilliant, brilliant town to live in. And I love being here.
I mentioned about this being a family affair. The next exhibitor here, Pat, Naomi's mum, said, you've got to go and talk to my daughter. So on Pat Driver's instructions, I'm talking to Naomi Driver. Describe your stuff.
My stuff is eclectic. It's hyper detailed. There's something for everyone, for kids and grown-ups alike. But yeah, there's a lot going on, and it's years of work, maybe 9 years of work that I've been hoarding. It's quite nice to see it all out in one go.
Tell me your story. How come you've come to the art?
Probably a lot of people can share from, you know, having a bit of an old rough and tumble with my mental health. These guys, the rainbow prints here, were kind of my first foray. I started with Mr. Lobster. He's one of my favourites. And then I thought, you know what, I'll just do all the colours. Mr. Blue Whale's unfortunately sold out. He can't be here today. And then it just went from there. And having the tiny, tiny pen work and getting lost in the pattern work and the detail was quite a nice outlet and mindfulness activity for me. And then I've moved on into the cross-stitching side of things, and that's, yeah, perfect. While the telly's on, listening to podcasts about jolly things like true crime, I'll get a lot of cross-stitching done as well.
So the real detail stuff has really helped you?
Yeah, definitely. And as I've branched out into pet portraiture, I get a really nice warm and fuzzy, you know, especially people that I know. And I've had a couple that, you know, unfortunately their pets have passed away, and I've done them a drawing, and it's just really touched them. And they're like, oh, you've captured her perfectly. And that's just been, yeah, really rewarding. Nice to bring a smile to people from stuff that I can make with my hands.
Yeah. Is this your full-time job?
No, it's not. I'm a full-time veterinary nurse. So all day long with the critters and the cats and dogs and getting my arms scratched to pieces. I'll never be an arm model, but when I get home, I just dig into some cross-stitching and some coaster making, mandala drawing, just to unwind.
Your mum said you just got back from Greece.
I did. I just did a neutering clinic on an island called Karpathos.
Which As you do.
I know, casual. Just going to go and knock out 141 cats and get rid of their reproductive organs. Classic. But yeah, one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. It was amazing just to see all these cats and then have them released afterwards. And, you know, they'll have a nice, long, healthy life because of something that I've taken part in. It was
how
brilliant.
How did that happen?
I've always wanted to do an abroad clinic, and a friend of mine did it last year, and then she got approached again, but unfortunately she couldn't go because she's been a bit poorly. So she put my name forward. I was like, oh, you thought of me, that's nice. I was obviously, like anyone would be, like, oh, I don't know if I can do it, what if they think I'm rubbish? And but they were like, oh, thank you so much for everything you contributed to the programme. And yeah, all of the people in the local village were super grateful because they love the cats and they just want to make sure they have a, you know, a long, healthy life without having too many babies. So yeah,
I can't believe I'm standing in Rye Community Centre in the hall surrounded by lots of artists. And we're talking about castrating cats.
Yeah, it's a funny old world. Saturdays can take any shape if you let them. But yeah, it was a very special time, considering, yeah, you know, they're all covered in fleas and ticks, and some of them have had some pretty gruesome injuries and all sorts. But yeah, it was good fun.
Would you hope to ever become a professional artist?
I would. I mean, I am making plans. I've given my year's notice for my job to move up to the Lake District with my partner. And that will be a rent-free 500-year-old farmhouse that he's renovated. Oh, wow. So I'll have more time to spend on my art stuff and hopefully make a bit more of a living out of it. What I don't want it to become is a burden, because I do sometimes get a bit bogged. Like, oh, I've got 2 pet portraits to do. Ah. But I want to keep it as rewarding and therapeutic as I possibly can. But I'm hoping to branch out a bit more and spend more time, dedicate more time to it when I'm not, you know, 50 hours a week on the way to work or at work or thinking about work. We'll be leaving Pat to it. She can hold down the fort down here.
Before we go, need a picture, Naomi. This is a cat. Tell me about this cat.
This is my one true love cat called Steve, and he is the most beautiful kittywit in the world, as I tell him every day. And he's also a fat man, so shout out to Steve.
It's not just a picture, the earrings as well.
Oh, indeed, yeah. Look left and right, yin and yang.
This is an amazing collection of dolls. It's made by Jane Fan. Tell me about the dolls.
They're calico and they're hand-painted. They are predominantly made to hang on walls. Got a bit of a backstory that I made art dolls. I sold them in Great Dixter years ago, sort of garden dolls. And they're sort of from the folk art tradition of America, but they're anglicised quite a lot. I make them from all recycled bits and pieces. I use my own dyes. Obviously, I don't use my own paints, I don't make those. I carve the arms and legs, and I use bits of salvage on the wings for the Christmas dolls. This collection's predominantly more spring-based and has a lot of embroidery, vintage embroidery.
What is it about dolls? Why dolls?
I don't really know what appeals to me. Sort of perversely, I didn't like dolls as a child, but I think it's a way of scaling down sort of my fashion interest. It's sort of scaling down and making it more accessible.
Why didn't you like them as a child?
I'm not really sure. I was sort of a bit more of a tomboy as a child, really. I was more interested in being outside in animals, you know. Dolls were silly and for girls. I don't know. People change, I guess.
What's the reaction been? What are people saying?
People really like them. Some people find them a bit scary. Doesn't really bother me. Some people do. Those that do really appreciate them because, you know, each one is an individual. It's got its own character, its own face. It's totally unique. I tried to make them benign, and they are supposed to be, you know, a little companion.
They do feel a bit American, don't they?
Yeah, that's definitely a real influence. I mean, I love the folk art tradition, the American folk art tradition, and I was in New England for 11 years, sort of formative years, you know, 20 to 31. So, yeah, so there's definitely an influence, and then there's the influence of the fashion and textiles that, you know, I studied as a student.
And how come you're here? This is a craft fair. It's amateurs. You're a professional involved in the professional arts world.
Yeah, well, you know, it's local. I want this to build up. We've got some amazing artisans in Rye, and, you know, we haven't got anywhere local that they show. You know, you have to go very far afield to show your work. A destination in town where people can sell their product instead of having to go so far away. And you can try this, fingers crossed, you never know, but you've got to try these things, haven't you?
Jackie Brooks, once again, has organised this day. It's been a big success. There's a nice crowd. All the stalls are full. You're going to keep doing this?
I hope so, yeah. We hope to create about 4 a year. 2 more this year, hopefully. If feedback from today goes well, which I think it will, another 2 this year and then hopefully 4 next year. Watch his face.
And final thing, one of my friends said, oh, you'll know Jackie. She's easy to spot. She's got fantastic shoes.
Well, that's really nice of you to say so.
Thanks to Jackie, Terry, Larry, Naomi and Jane for talking to me today. I'll put all their details on the website, that's ryecast.org, plus Jackie's email if you'd like to get involved in the next fair. There's a really good feeling about this show. So, from the Community Centre in Rye, until next time on Ryecast, goodbye.